Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Several weeks ago, I looked at Fricka's favorite toy, and I knew the time had come. Her once pristine pogo plush ball now looked like the decaying remains of a once obese albino hamster. She had had that toy for 11 years. For whatever reason, all of my pets have had particular toys that meant a lot to them. And as soon as one made a special connection with a toy, I automatically went out and bought backups. Unfortunately, I was a little slow this time. In the time between when Fricka got the original Pogo plush toy and I purchased two backups, the design had changed. What made the original ball so perfect for her was there was a fleece covering on a hollow matrix, latex rubber of some sort. But it was lightweight, and there was a squeaker suspended in the middle of it. It was the lightweight, the softness of that matrix, that made it possible for a little dog like Fricka, with her undershot jaw, to scoop it up and play with it. When the new ones came, I knew it was going to be a tough sell, because they were much stiffer than the original one. Then I made my first tactical error. I went into denial. I figured she's a little dog, she's very gentle, it'll last. Now here we are, 11 years later, and it hadn't. It was falling apart, and I had to do something. So I hit upon this great idea. I had these two other balls. One was pristine. She hadn't even deigned to look at it. The other one had been batted around a bit. I don't know if that had been done by her or the other dogs or her puppies when she had them or what, but you could tell it had been around. It hadn't had much use. It was more like a used car that belonged to a little old lady who only drove it a couple miles to church on Sunday. So I decided I would dismantle the pristine ball. I would make an opening in the cover, I would pull out that stiff, hard matrix, and I would replace it with the original matrix that she loved. And that's what I did. The operation was simple, and while I had her old toy opened, I removed the broken squeaker and I replaced the squeaker too, sewed it back up, and gave it to her. She showed an interest in it, and I was greatly cheered by this. And when I saw her in the dog's portable crate in my office with it, I thought, oh man, I am home free. Am I brilliant or what? And then I discovered that it wasn't the ball I made for her. It was the other ball with a stiff matrix. That's when I had my aha moment. I think that anyone who has watched dogs and cats play is aware of the fact that many of the displays they use in play mimic those used in predatory displays. This doesn't mean that they're pretending that their toys are prey, although some of them may be, but just that they've adapted those behaviors, and usually it's a more soft, mild version. Be that as it may, what stimulates the predatory progression is pretty basic. If there's enough light or the predator's eyesight is acute enough, it's first the motion of the prey that triggers it, then any sound, then any odor, then any texture, and last on the list is taste. What I did when I took the cleanest cover and put it on the old matrix was I focused on texture. I focused on creating a new toy that had the softer, spongier, more giving texture of the original design. But what she has chosen is the ball that has the greater smell. She's finding that more appealing to her. So I messed up, but I also learned a lesson. And in the meantime, she does have a new ball. She isn't pining for the pelt of her other one, which I saved just in case. And now I know that I have to get to work on that second ball, on the pristine ball. I have to start beating at it with something, maybe a wooden mallet or a rubber mallet to soften it up, and spit on it and store it with her other toys so it starts to pick up those scents and a certain grungy appearance too. And maybe grunge it up and wash it a couple times, because that's part of its cachet. It's what makes it comforting to her. So I learned. My DIY pet toy analysis yielded strong insights. One is a reminder that, like all of us, I probably know more than I think I do. The other is to try to summon that information before I start a project instead of after I'm done.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.